This former black and Jew hater knows the future. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with David McDonald. David, yes. You were born in South Africa. That's Tell right. me, as when you were in the military,
yes.
You hated black people. Tell me about one black person that you expressed this hate
well,
to.
Well, you know, I remember walking up into a mall area one day, and there was a man standing there just minding his own business, and I just walked right next to him and punched him as hard as I could in his stomach. Just the rage, there was just outrage.
Why did you want to hurt him?
I think because of inferiority. I think I was more insecure than he was. And because of that insecurity that had built up over the years, there was just a rage. You know, the only way I can explain it was a demonic rage. It was a rage that it wasn't a human rage. And that was one incident that I can remember. And
In South Africa, they had apartheid.
That's right.
Here in the United States, we had segregation
yes.
and slavery.
Yes.
And so you went through that. Tell me the psychology of this, how it developed within you as a person to hate blacks, to hate Jews.
Well, you know, growing up as a young boy, there was never any hate. You know, as a young child growing up, there was our home was always full of joy. But as I started to go through the school program in South Africa, I went to a public school. Mm-hmm. We call them government schools there. The school teachers would use propaganda. They would say things like, if you're not going to do your homework, if you don't do well, some black child will come in and take your chair and sit in your mm-hmm. seat. And that began to produce an anger and a hate that manifested later on in life. And so from elementary school to high school, by the time we got to high school, we hated black kids. We hated black men. For a white young man to grow up in South Africa, your greatest threat was somebody your age that was black. And that produced the anger.
Now, where did the hatred towards Jews come from?
Well, living in a community I lived, really it was the diet we were being fed, the instruction that we were hearing our uncles and our aunts and our family people speak about. They hated Jews. To them, the Jew coming into South Africa was a threat to the economy, was a threat to business, because wherever the Jewish people went, they would do well, they would prosper.
Now, were there neo-Nazis there?
Oh, absolutely. After the Second World War, South Africa really had their fill of neo-Nazism. It came back after the Second World War, was introduced into South Africa, and really we didn't walk around looking like punkers. You know, we didn't dye our hair and walk around looking weird. It was more militant, it was more organized in South Africa. That was the neo-Nazism that I was used to. It was more organized. It wasn't just pop guys that listened to some rap star, or, you know, it wasn't a culture. It was a discipline.
Now, the thing that's so amazing to me is you didn't know anything about Jesus as a young boy.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I remember, you know, we were brought up in the church, in a main church, and a Presbyterian church, and I remember being invited as a young boy, 7 years old, on a Sunday school camp. I think it was a Friday and a Saturday, and then Sunday we'd go back to the church. It was my first time I'd left home, you could say. But I remember very, very well, the kids were all invited to play ball games, and there were a lot of activities. And as a kid, I was an introvert. And I remember that I didn't want to really play games with these young kids, and so I just walked into the bush. The area that the picnic was in, it was pretty bushy. I walked into the bush, and I came across a black village where little kids were running around, little black kids, and I went and joined in and started to chat to them. And there, something, I don't know if it's something came on me, but something within me wanted to reach out to these children. I remember telling these kids about Jesus as a seven-year-old kid.
But you had heard about him in church.
Well, I never heard the salvation message. Never heard the salvation message and never heard it. We went to church and there wasn't any salvation preached. It was a more political church than an evangelistic mm-hmm. church. And so never heard the salvation message. And there I was standing with these kids telling them to receive Jesus Christ. And that was an experience that has altered my life, I think. It started there.
Now, at age 21, though, you made a formal profession of faith.
Absolutely.
But
a lot happened in between that, Sid. I grew up in a home where there was a consistent hunger and urgency within my heart to know about Jesus. I would read the Word. I would listen and try and find things as a boy growing
but
up.
But how could you do that and hate the black and hate the Jew?
It must be, well, you see, there was something that was birthed within me, I believe, by the Spirit of God, divine intervention as a young boy. But as I grew up, Sid, what happened was there was not a consistency of someone discipling me and giving me what I needed to live on or the diet that I needed to have, the spiritual diet. All I heard was the hate and the anger. So by the time I was 17, 18 years old, I said, man, this stuff about Jesus doesn't work. The only thing that works is anger and bitterness and hate. That seems to be working because of the environment, you see. And so when I joined the Air Force, I didn't join the Air Force to become a good officer or a pilot. I joined the Air Force to become a mercenary. That was my desire. I wanted to become a mercenary so that when I was finished with the Air Force, I could leave and go into Africa and be a soldier of fortune. That was my desire.
But something happened.
Something happened when I was 7 years old, and I believe it was with me. Even though I was angry, we would plan all sorts of terrible things, you know. As I became more involved with a group called the AWB, I became more involved in their structure and their discipline and the things they were doing.
What was their purpose?
Well, their purpose was to undermine every black person that lived in South Africa. Their purpose was to undermine the government. Their purpose was to destroy the honor of a nation. Really, that was, if you look at the AWB and you look what Hitler did in Germany, it was exactly the same thing. And we would dress up in khaki clothing. We would dress up, we would have a swastika on our arms. I mean, we were an army, and that's what I thought. I thought we were doing God a favor, you see, because of the deceptive input that I was getting as a young man.
So what changed that?
Well, I'll tell you what changed it. I was in the Air Force. And one Sunday morning, a young man that I'd seen in the camp many times before walked up to me and said, David, I'd like to take you to church. And you know, sir, the first thing that came up in me was I wanted to hit him. I wanted to hit him so hard.
Why? You like Jesus. You were reading the Bible.
Well, because of that anger, because of that, you know, anybody that spoke about God had something more than I did. And I think it was that insecurity. Once again, it was insecurity. The insecurity of thinking that I wasn't good enough. I mean,
I'm so glad I didn't invite you to church that day. I wouldn't want to be punched in the nose. We're going to pick up right here. We'll be back in a moment. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with David McDonald, a racist from South Africa, someone that hated with such a passion the blacks and the Jewish people. And one day, a friend of his in the military says, invites him to go to church. He wants to punch him in the nose, so why did you go?
Well, the first thing I realized that the bars were closed in the camp and that I would get a free lunch. Because the trip to the church would be probably 2.5 hours, because we were based 120 kilometers, that's probably 60 miles from the nearest church. So we had to drive there, spend the whole morning there, and only come back in the afternoon. I said, well, free lunch, the bars aren't open, there's nothing else to do, I'll go with this guy. And so we drove out to this church, and this guy walked in. He loved the Lord. There was something in his life that I needed, and I knew I needed it. You see, that's the thing. On the way there, I knew I needed what he had. But when we got to this church, this guy, you know, being the staunch Christian he was, went and sat right in front.
And I wanted to be in the back.
And I wanted to be in the back, boy. And I sat down in front of him, with him, you know, alongside of him. And this man, it was a little church, a little Assembly of God church. And this guy started to preach and started to teach on the love of the Father and the Son and the Father, the Father-Son relationship. And since something happened in that room that day that I cannot explain, but it felt like if everybody around me had disappeared and I was the only guy sitting there, and it wasn't the preacher that was teaching me, it was Jesus. And I remember very, very clearly that as this guy was preaching, I could not wait. I almost stopped him and said, could you lead me? Could you lead me in the prayer of salvation? That was the urgency that had built up within me. And before this guy had finished preaching, I was on my knees and went through the most awesome, that's the only way I can explain it to you, the most awesome conversion from being a man of hate and anger to a guy that just was a softy. I mean, I remember getting in the car with this guy, not even going for lunch, but weeping 120 kilometers back, weeping. It was almost I was weeping for the years I hadn't wept.
You, in other words, you weren't a type of person to cry.
Not at all. I was a hard, I'd become
you were
hard.
Macho.
In actual fact, if I saw myself in a mirror, you know, I was almost cursing things over my life and saying, you are a hater. You are angry. It's good to be that way. And so when this happened to me, it was a conversion that I cannot put in writing. And I remember just weeping on the way back to this camp. And my life changed. It was a night and day change.
What about blacks?
Something supernatural happened, and that was this: that every time I would see a black person, because the area that the camp was in was in an area where there was a lot of indigenous black people, and every time I would see one, I would just start to weep. I would weep unashamedly. I would weep in the shopping market. I would weep filling up my car with gas. I would weep, just an emotion. And at one stage, I thought I was losing my mind. But there was a compassion that I'd received that wasn't a human compassion. It wasn't a fleshly compassion. It wasn't something that someone tried to teach me. It was a spiritual compassion from Daddy himself.
When I asked you before we went on the air, I want you to tell me one example of when you beat up or hurt a black person.
Yes.
You said to me, I'll tell you, but I don't want to be that graphic. Why?
You know what? When I think about the things that we did, many times I thank God that those things have been washed away. Washed away, no longer for me to remember. There's things I can't even remember about my younger days. And sometimes, you know, I think, well, maybe it's God's grace. But I'd rather not even go there, because when you think about that all that had to do was with destruction. You know, destroying someone else's life, you know, I don't even think it has the value to speak about anymore. I think the value that we need to speak about here is the fact that God can save, God can heal, and He can bring a change.
And you know what intrigues me? I mean, I am so intrigued with a gift that God put in you of knowing things about people, being able to predict things that'll happen. Tell me one time that God used this gift for someone to be healed.
I was sitting in a church in Texas, and while I was teaching the word, I stopped instantaneously. It wasn't premeditated. I didn't know anybody in the church. And there was a lady sitting to the right, and I just said, ma'am, you sitting over there, I said, no longer will you be on tranquilizers. You won't be addicted to tranquilizers. God's healing your body. And she and her husband jumped up. And I said, by the way, and I said, you've been spending thousands of dollars on medication. And her and her husband jumped up and just started to scream with delight. And little did I know, I received a letter from her and her physician. She had been taking, I don't know how many thousands of dollars of medication a month. She was addicted to tranquilizers, and she was going through a rough time physically because of all the tranquilizers. That was one of the times that as the word came, as the word of knowledge came, it brought healing instantaneously.
She was totally set free
within one day.
How does this word work? Do you hear a voice? Do you have a thought?
Many times it's spontaneous. Many times it's, you know, when you look at the Hebrew word prophet, it means nabi, and nabi is to bubble up. And many times I've tried to figure it out, said, and I can't figure it out. Yes, sometimes you'll get an impression, sometimes you'll get a word or a picture, but most times it's just as if, you know, you're just connected to a divine pressure hose and it just comes out of your mouth.
Well, I can tell you something, David. Something is bubbling up inside of me right now, and I believe that something is bubbling up within David, and we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth. I can't wait to get to my guest, David McDonald, because he is a prophet that knows the future. But I'd like to find out who's on next week. Let's go to the control room. Janie?
Sid, I have scary newspaper clippings in my hands. You're going to be interviewing a woman who was abducted by a mass murderer rapist, and he had murdered about 30 women that looked like her, and she had a supernatural protection that happened.
Thank you, Janie. David, as I said before, this gift intrigues me. You say it just kind of bubbles up. Tell me a little bit about this gift of prophecy.
Well, you know, the gift of prophecy, is, you know, when you read, in, you know, the nine gifts of the Spirit, you'll find that there's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then the gift of prophecy. Now, many people get confused about, well, if they have a word of knowledge, that they're a prophet and so forth. And I actually really think we need to bring that into some type of balance and teach on it so that people understand that you're not necessarily a prophet, because being a prophet, you walk in a governmental office as a prophet. Mm-hmm. But if you just move in the gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, doesn't mean you're a prophet. But I believe that many times when you see the word of knowledge in operation, my experience is that 99% there's an immediate manifestation.
Really? Well, tell me about, you had one about money.
Well, I was in Australia ministering at a church, and a lot of those people, they are farmers. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady and her husband, and I called them out and I said, can I pray with you? And I had a word of knowledge. I said, there's money owing to you. You've been in debt because of these people owing you money. And I said, within the next 48 hours, you will see an incredible turnaround.
Now, well, that's kind of putting yourself on the spot. You said it in 48 hours.
In 48 hours, and you're saying things that are pretty explicit. Well, in 48 hours, they were selling hay. They were buying hay growing hay, compressing hay and sending it to Japan, and they were owed $25,000. Well, within 48 hours of that word of knowledge, they received a check for the full total. And it didn't just happen in Australia. I was in Hawaii, and I was with a church in Maui, Hawaii, Assembly of God Church. And I ministered to this lady and said to her the same thing. I said, ma'am, I said, I just believe that you're coming into some finances. I gave her a time. I said, within the next week, you will have more money than you can handle. In actual fact, I said to her, you will need to hire an accountant. Well, after the service, the pastor brought me into his office and he said, brother, that you're out of order. That woman lives in a bus. She has no income. She is on the poverty line.
She's a street person.
Well, she, not really. I mean, she was going to church, but she lived in a bus. I mean, she was poverty stricken. She had a family, but destitute, really. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was she was married to a man many, many years ago. They got divorced, but he continued to pay into an insurance, and she was the beneficiary. And he had passed away, and within 1 week received, I don't know how many thousands of dollars, but more than she could handle, and she had to hire an accountant. And that pastor phoned me and apologized. And you see, that's how God works. Now, sometimes, you know, I believe we can miss it. But many times when God gives you a spontaneous word that there's no premeditation, you didn't have to meditate on, and it comes out supernaturally, there's a manifestation. That's what I've seen and what I've experienced.
Have you missed it much?
Yes, I have. There's been times.
Now, I'm so glad you said that, because most of the people that I have talked to that prophesy say, I never have missed it. I'm glad I've got an honest prophet here, David.
We miss it. You know, we're dealing with the soulish realm. We're dealing with the spirit realm. Now, I always say to people, how many of you have, you know, if you think about this, how many of us have drank water out of a hot hose on a hot summer's day, or a hose pipe on a hot summer? What does this taste like? It tastes like the hose. In other words, we're dealing with soulish things. And so many times, instead of hearing rhema word, we are so connected to the logos word, the word that we read, that when we see people, we want to speak
logos. We incorporate what we already know.
That's it. Instead of hearing rhema. And that's when we get into trouble.
What do you see happening in the future in the United States?
I see a tremendous, a tearing apart, if I can say that, between, it's almost like, if I can give you this, a dream I had. I had a dream and I saw the word tug of war. There's a tug of war happening between two groups of people in America. I'm not speaking about people that are not churched. I'm speaking about church people. That there's a group of people that say, yes, we want to go all the way. We want to get passionate. We want to get hungry. We want to do what God wants us to do. We sold out. We surrendered. And then there's another group of people that are saying, no, we're happy. We're comfortable. The road of mediocrity is all that we need. We don't want any more. That's what I see happening.
A separation.
Absolutely, a separation. And then I believe there will be a remnant that God will raise up. A remnant that will walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus.
Will we see an increase in the supernatural?
Absolutely. I believe the 19th century was a century of the natural. And I believe that the new millennium will be a millennium of the supernatural. We'll have supernatural encounters on a day-to-day basis.
Tell me some things that you see are coming supernaturally.
I believe the knowledge of God is going to be a supernatural outpouring. There's going to be an outpouring of the full knowledge of God in His church in America. We're going to see the force of God's knowledge in His church like never before. So much so that nations will come in. You can read it in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. It says, nations will come in. Nations shall flow into her. And I believe the reason why nations shall flow into her is because of the knowledge we'll have. We'll have the answer. And I believe that's going to be a supernatural thing that'll happen. That we'll have...
Let me tell you something that concerns me,
yes.
David. And that is, in the United States of America, I see tensions between blacks and whites are, even though this is the best time in the history in the
yes.
relationship between
yes.
blacks and whites, I see such tension and such anger under the surface with hotheads in the black community and hotheads in the white community. I don't see anything this country can do legislation-wise
yes.
to stop horrible race wars. What's the answer?
The answer is to stop ministering from behind a religious robe, stop trying to speak to each other from a platform, and start to get to know each other in the street, get to know each other outside of the institution. It never worked in South Africa. I've been around many different people that have tried to do restoration and reconciliation things, and we're trying to address ourselves on a platform where there's all this formality. We need to get out of that formality, because if I, as a white person, want to walk redemptively with a black person, I need to touch them. I need to love them. I need to say that I love them. And not from behind a religious robe. That's not going to work. We need to drop the formalities and come through the same doorway Jesus came through, and that was the servant quarters.
But you know what I want to see, David? And I want to see it so badly. I want to see the same thing that happened to you happen to white people, happen to black people, happen to Jews, happen to Christians. And that is, understand the love of God. Understand that God is not a respecter of persons. Understand that God has as much love for a black person as He has for a white person. He has as much love for a Jew as He has for a Gentile. God has so much more love than any of us can fathom. And you know something? He will never love you more than He loves you right now at this moment. And there's nothing that you can do, but there's something you can do to stop being connected with that anger and bitterness and hate and rage, and get connected with the God of love. Confess your sins. That's what David did. Believe that Jesus washed away your sins. And then when you're clean, say, Jesus, your blood has made me clean. Then you're clean, you say, Father God, be a father to me. Jesus, you live inside of me. I need your love. I need your shalom. I need your peace. I need a friend. You can know God as your friend. Not an ostrich and say, I believe. But you can have an experience. God wants you to have an experience with Him. But there's no other name given unto men in which we must have this experience but the Messiah Jesus. Pray right now. Get real with God. He'll get real with you.